Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
We're on our series, Losing Selfie. It's a great series as we approach Easter and as we reflect on our lives as we approach Easter. And that's, we've kind of coincided this series with the traditional church calendar of Lent. So those of you that grew up in the more traditional church world, you know, the 40 days before Easter is known as Lent. And it's a season where you take time to reflect on yourself. But it's not just reflecting, it's a, hey, you're pretty good looking. No, it's not reflecting on yourself like that. It's reflecting on yourself to see, you know, how am I responding to what Jesus has done for me? And it's really in preparation for Easter where Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. And it's, we've been talking about how we're called to reflect Christ to our world. We're called to reflect his character, his life to the world around us. But sometimes our reflection gets a little hazy, doesn't it? You ever been driving down the road and then you it's like the sun is on the side of your vehicle and you go to check your side view mirror and like all you see is dirt? And it's like, I can't tell if there's anything there or not because all I see is dirt. And, you know, sometimes in our life we get like that, don't we? It's like we're trying to see clearly, we're trying to reflect clearly, but all we see is dirt. And we need seasons in our life where we stop and reflect and sometimes take a moment to clean the dirt off. You know, if you've ever been driving on the road and your headlights get so dirty that you don't actually see light. You know, it's night. You don't actually, it's like my headlights are imaginary. They're doing nothing right now. And you stop and you get out and you rub the snow on your headlights because nobody's figured out that you should put windshield washers on your headlights. There's an idea. Somebody can get very rich doing that. And, that's what the season of Lent, it's a season where we reflect on what's hazing up our mirror. What's making our reflection dirty and taking some time to just kind of clean the mirror off, to clean the reflection off. And today I want to talk about self-protection, and it's the series Losing Selfie and Self-Protection. We're watching a very interesting dynamic take place in our world around us right now, especially through the online interactions that we're watching. I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of online interactions aren't super functional. like they're not super healthy. Like if you never actually talk to people like this in real life, and if you would, you should get some therapy. Like it's not. But we're watching this, you know, people, there's this self-protection taking place where everybody's hiding behind the screen now. And it's all these interactions are everybody, it's like, I've got this screen protector between me and you. And, you know, and to a certain degree, some of us have screen protectors on our souls that we're just kind of not letting anybody in, not allow, it's that self-protection. If I get dropped, I won't shatter if I have the screen protector on my heart. And so, but in a lot of ways, like we're more connected than we have ever been. But in a lot of ways, we're more disconnected than we've ever been. And this, we're in the first time, we're literally watching the redefinition of friends. Like, according to Facebook, I have like 600 friends. Right. Yeah, some of you have thousands of friends. Never met, never talked to. Wouldn't recognize them if you walked into them in a mall. But they're your friend. And so you see what it's doing. It's this connectedness is actually creating the opposite. It's actually creating it's actually fostering disconnection and dysfunction, and it's polarizing. We're not having discussions anymore. We're having opinions. And we don't talk about ideas anymore. We just state what we think, and anybody who doesn't think the same of us is an absolute ripping idiot. Isn't that that's how Facebook works? You agree with me, or you're a complete moron. And I'll use non-church words to describe you. Okay. And then we get the wonderful section at the end of every news article where you know, all the garbage goes down to the bottom. The cesspool. It's called the comments section. The cesspool of human thinking. All collected in one area for you to just observe and enjoy. As the deep, profound thoughts. Not deep, not profound. It's just fertilizer is what it is. You know, in every interaction in life, we choose to really live one of two ways. We choose to live out of a position of criticism and judgment towards those around us, or we tend to live out of a position of encouragement and life towards those that are around us. And we think that this is not a new thing for mankind. This isn't something that just, wow, Facebook's invented and now this has happened. No, this happened with the very first two people that walked on planet Earth, had the same choice of how they would live. Would they live out of a position of judgment and criticism, or would they live out of a position of encouragement and life? And we find this, Adam and Eve. They were created. God created Adam. God created Eve. Put them in the garden. And then there's all these good, yummy things in the garden that they can eat. And then there was two certain trees that were put in the garden with Adam and Eve. Anybody know the name of those trees? The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two trees that were put in there. Now God, with the tree of life, he said to Adam and Eve, you can eat all the tree. You can make like little pastries that have fruit from the tree of life on top, and you know, make some jam, make some compote. What else do you need? A chutney? A little chutney? A little tree of life chutney for you? Tree of life chutney? But he said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you do, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. And what is the tree? What does this mean? I mean, we read this stuff and it's like, well, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil, big deal. Two trees, don't really have these trees anymore. You know, we don't see them anyways. But the thing is, these trees were more than just trees. These trees represented life. They represented us, the way we go through life. And the tree of life was the tree that God wanted Adam and Eve to live in and partake of. And that's the tree of encouragement. That's the tree of relationship. It's the tree of connection. It's what it represented between God and mankind is really what it's all that it represented. It was goodness. It was grace. It was favor. It was faith. It was all the good things of God's purpose towards us, or God's purpose towards mankind. And he said, I want you to participate in this. I want you to live eating from this tree. I want you to live nourished by relationship with me, relationship with one another. I want you to be nourished by encouragement. I want you to be nourished by grace and by favor and by faith. I want these things to build your life and be a part of the structure of your life. And then there's another one, and it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You say, well, what is that? Well, this is the facts. This is where intellect gets exalted over relationship. This is where having, you know, there's a difference between just the facts and the truth. There's a difference between the cold, hard facts and the truth of God's word. Knowledge gives us facts, but life is about truth. What happened when they partook of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil is they became aware of their nakedness. They became aware of their deficiencies. They became aware of their failings. They became aware of their disobedience. They became aware of the negativity, and that's where criticism and blame started to come in. It all happened when they started to partake of this of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the news gives us facts, but God's word gives us the truth. God's word gives us the truth of who we are, who we were created to be. And the issue isn't always whether or not something is true. Is it, will we live in a way that brings life and grace to those around us? Will we live in a way that brings encouragement to those that are around us? Or will we live in a way that brings criticism and judgment and exposure to those that are around us? See, the tree of life was meant to protect us and to preserve us. But when we chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we became exposed. And you see, what was the first reaction that Adam and Eve had? They covered up. They hid. God was walking through the garden looking for him, and he's, Adam, where are you? And Adam's like, I'm hiding. So why are you hiding? Well, I'm naked and I'm afraid. And then God asked this is actually the very first question that is asked of mankind. Who told you you were naked? Who told you that? Who told you that you're naked and exposed and vulnerable? Who told you this? In other words, he's asking, who is influencing your thinking? Because that's not me. I didn't tell you that. I never called you naked. And so we see the first question here is that God asks us is, who are you allowing to shape your thinking? Who are you allowing to shape your opinion of yourself? Who's influencing what you think about yourself? And whenever we start partaking of that knowledge, the facts, the cold hard facts. Well, so the facts are brutal. Truth is redeeming. When you get the truth of, you know, Christ didn't come here and tell us who we really were. He came here and told us who we were really meant to be. He didn't die so that we could just be, actually, contrary to what lots of people think, Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could be forgiven of our sins. He had to die on the cross so that our sins could be dealt with, so that we could live in the fullness of life as he designed it for us on the earth. That's why Jesus came. If you stop at sin, you are totally missing the whole point of why Jesus came to the earth. It was to bring you to something completely different. It was to bring you to a completely different way of life. And so it's the way of the tree. It's the way of the tree of life, is that he basically came to restore mankind to a place where we could be in relationship with God. We could be in relationship with one another again, that we could live. We could live differently than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where there's criticism and there's judgment and there's harshness. But there's, in the tree of life, there's grace and peace. There's acceptance. So how do we handle that? Because if you're like me, I have a default setting that tends to think I'm naked all the time. I mean, like, I know I'm not naked, but it's like there's a default in me that feels exposed all the time. So how do we handle that? How do we handle that when it comes to criticism, when it comes to judgment? How do we handle that when it's coming from others towards us? How do we handle it when it's coming from us towards others? Or how do you handle it when it's coming from yourself to yourself? Sometimes we're our worst judges, aren't we? How do we handle this? Well, the first thing is stop and step back. Stop and step back. In other words, just, you know, we can choose to voice our opinion in 140 characters or less, but we don't always need to do that. You know, when it comes to our interactions with others, when we're tempted to maybe say things or express opinions, we can stop and step back. Proverbs 11, it says, whoever puts down another is not wise, but one who knows better keeps quiet. I like Proverbs. It's just, it is. It's really simple, which is good for me. Because it's like, just do this and watch how your life turns out from following it. Before you react, realize you might not have all the facts. Stop and step back. Sometimes we just need to remove ourselves from certain conversations. You know, if you're on certain threads or Facebook conversations, sometimes you just need to just not talk. Like, just, you have an opinion, great. You don't have to tell everybody. You just maybe skip to the next article. Check your motives. Check your motives. Before we're frank with people, before we respond, let's ask the question, why am I saying this? What am I trying to accomplish through this? Am I just saying this to put them down? Will it make me feel better to put them down? Will it make me feel better to put them in their place? Or am I seeking to protect myself by putting them in their place? And, you know, you just think, has anybody ever changed your mind by being critical of your thinking? Like, has somebody ever criticized you and insulted you, and when you were done, you're like, gosh, you're right. I will change my whole belief system due to your profound insults and criticism. It just is it. And then the last thing when it comes to stop and step back is ask the question, well, who am I allowing to shape my thoughts in this matter? Is it the people around me? Are my thoughts being shaped by the media around me? By what's, you know, kind of mainstream thinking in the world around me? Or is it the Word of God that I'm allowing to shape my thoughts? I've got a little insider's tip for you. In the church, we're not supposed to form the way we think based off of what the world tells us to think. That's why we have this thing called the Bible. And it's the Bible, you know, the Bible's a powerful tool. And it's like any powerful tool. If it's wielded in a way that's irresponsible, it can hurt people. It's like, you give me a chainsaw, I can make great things happen with a chainsaw. I can carve you a bear. No, I can't. Everybody, really? Can you make a bear? Do it. You should do it on stage. I can't make a bear. But I can also cut your arm off. It's all in how you hold the tool. And, you know, the Word of God is meant to be a tool that brings life and health and healing. And if we wield it properly, it shapes our lives in such a way that brings life and connection and healing and relationship. Where am I? So who am I allowing to shape my thoughts? And that's right back to that question. Who told you you're naked? In other words, who are you letting influence the way that you think? Now, okay, the second thing here in dealing with this knowledge of good and evil, or dealing with criticism, whether it's coming from you or others, is give God room to work. Give God room to work. And here's a good one. Give up your right. Give up your, in quotes, right. In other words, give up your need to be right in a situation. Give up your need to establish that you are right or that you're smarter. 1 Peter 2, it says this, for God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Some of you needed to hear that, and you'll need to hear it one more time because it's a good verse. God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. In other words, when you're in a situation where maybe it's not fair, or somebody's saying something or something's going on, you know, when you just shut your mouth and carry on, it actually pleases God. He's actually happy with that. He can actually do things in your life through that are healthy and they're good. Resist the urge to be right? Here's a great question to ask. Do I want to be right or do I want to do right? Do I want to be right or do I want to do right? Do I want to see right come of this, or do I just want everybody to understand that I'm right in this? Oh, man. I don't need to hear this myself. This is just for you guys. I didn't need to hear this at all. I got this all mastered. It's all good. You know, give God room to work. Give God room to work in the lives of people around you. You needed room in your work for him to work in your life. You know, you think of how long has it taken you to change in certain areas of your life? We needed grace. I needed grace in my life. You need grace in your life. And those around you need grace. They need you to have grace towards them as well. They need you to be patient with them so God can do what only he can do. This is 1 Peter 2 again, another great verse for your fridge if you want. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he's your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned. He never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. He didn't threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Here's a great question again. Who's better at bringing life, you or God? Who's better at changing people, you or God? And I want to move on to the last part of this message is that let's have the courage to be encouragers. Let's have the courage, and rather than being those that voice just the facts, let's choose to voice life. Let's choose to voice encouragement. Let's choose to voice faith. Let's choose to voice connection and foster connection with people. Encouragement's a language a lot of people aren't used to speaking or hearing. But encouragement can make a big difference in people's lives. Proverbs says, words wisely spoken are like apples of gold in settings of silver. I don't know what that means. But I do know that in your conversations, you can leave people with golden apples through their day. You can leave them with something that's shiny and beautiful that they can treasure. And here's a good rule of thumb. If it's something that's encouraging, speak it. If it's something that builds others up, say it. You know, you see somebody that's maybe going through a tough time, and just take that moment to say, hey, you're going to make it. This will end. Or take the time. You know, you see people that maybe they've just worked hard at something in their life, and you think, yeah, should I compliment them? Should I not compliment them? You know, for example, like somebody's lost a bunch of weight. You think, well, should I compliment them on the fact they've lost weight? Is that like calling them fat before? Is that like, you know, should I compliment? And the answer is yes, you should. Say, so do they want to hear that they look good? Yes, they do. They do, because they've worked hard to do what they've done. And if somebody's been going through a tough time or a tough season in their life, say, should I encourage them for like bearing through this season, or what should, just, you know what, encourage them. There's nobody saying, you know, I just wish nobody would compliment me at all. I just wish people would just, you know, completely be indifferent towards me all the time. It's like we want to be built up. There's a part of us that thrives on being built up. And like I say, it's not a language we're used to speaking and hearing, but it's a language that the church world can absolutely thrive in. Speak words of life to people. Ephesians chapter 4 says, let nothing harmful come out of your mouth. Let no harmful word come out of your mouth, but only that which is beneficial for building others up according to the needs, so that it gives grace to those who hear it. Wow. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, quarreling, slander, along with all malice, and instead be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. Speak words of life. And when it comes to what we speak, be careful what you allow to pass through you. Be careful what you allow through your life, what communication you allow. We can't control what's said to us, but we can control what gets through us. We can control what we allow to go to continue on. And just be careful. Let me just give a word about gossip here, just because, you know, none of us ever do that. So we'll just talk about all those other people somewhere else that do this. But, you know, this is what the Bible says about gossip. It says fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. And, you know, gossip, you say, well, what is gossip? Gossip is any information you pass on that somebody can't do anything about in a positive way. In other words, there's no positive action. It's just information that gets passed on. And you say, well, but it's the truth. This really happened. And, you know, sometimes we don't need to know all the facts of what really happened. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. And I remember when, you know, probably about 15 years ago, when women leaders weren't really common in the church world. And there were some grumbly people in the church about Monica, because she, you may have noticed, she's a bit of a leader. And from time to time. And there were some murmurings around the church world and around our church, and some people, you know, kind of come up to me and say, well, so-and-so is kind of not sure if Monica should be leading up and talking, you know, on the stage. And it got me mad at them. Like, really mad. Like, kill them mad. Because that's my wife. And a good husband gets protective about his wife. And so I really, at the end of that, realized, you know, I would have been better off not knowing what they said than this, you know, God bless them, brother Blabbermouth, coming and telling me what people were saying. You know, somebody says, somebody starts complaining about me behind my back and they're just belly aching and you happen to hear it, don't come and tell me. I don't want to know. I don't need to know, because it makes it harder for me to connect with them later. Makes it harder for me to build relationship later. And that's gossip is one of those things. It's when we take information and we pass it on, and all it's going to do is create conflict as it goes down the line. All it's going to do is, it's like pooping in the river. There it is. It made it. It's like, people have got to drink that water downstream, you know. Like, that water is going to everybody. Poop in the outhouse. Leave the river alone. I thought that was actually quite funny, but... yeah. Where am I? I'm totally lost now. Speak the truth in love. Those around you, learn. Psalms 34, it says, if you love life and you want to live a good long time, take care with the things that you say. Take care with the things that you say. Take care of the way you say things, too. There's this thing called tact. And tactfulness is the art of saying something difficult in a way that's constructive. It's giving thought. The Proverbs 15, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. See, tact is, here's a great example of tact is that I have the truth. And the truth is, I have lunch for you. And here it is. There's the truth of lunch. Full lunch. Now I look at that and say, well, doesn't really make you think, oh, I need to go eat lunch right now. There's another picture. That makes you think, I want some lunch right there. And I'm going to be serving steaks outside for the low, low price of $22.95. Immediately following the service, barbecued fresh. That's not true. But tact is the difference between the first picture and the second picture. It's taking something that's It's exactly the same thing, but it was its presentation that makes it different. And tact is the art of what you are thinking and what you don't say. It's what you're thinking and what you don't say. It's taking time to present truth without making an enemy. It's the ability to tell somebody to go jump off a cliff in such a way that it makes them look forward to the adventure. It really is. That's called tact. The Bible tells us to be tactful. Yeah, there's a verse in the Bible that tells us to prophesy as if we're prophesying the very words of God. And that word prophecy, that's a kind of a confusing word because we don't know what to do with it. But the Bible actually tells us what prophecy is. It's things spoken that edify, they exhort, and they comfort. That's what prophecy is. It's things that edify, which means it builds you up. It strengthens you. Edifies, exhorts, which means it instructs you. And the third is that it comforts you, which is pretty self-explanatory. And that's the test of the three, that if what you're speaking is really the words and the heart and the counsel of God, it's going to do one of those three things. It's either going to comfort, it's either going to instruct, or it's just going to build people up. That's what we're called to communicate. That's what the church is. That's when we speak. That's what we're commanded to speak, is words that do these three things. And I want to just encourage us. Let's stand up. I want to just challenge us as we go to be committed. Have the courage to encourage. Have the courage to leave here today. And as you go through your week, take a moment to encourage. Take a moment to stop and step back and just look, where can I add some value to those that are around me? Where can I bring life to people that are around me? Where can I help somebody out that's going through a rougher time with some words of encouragement? And I want to just pray for us. Let's just pray together. Jesus, I want to build those up around me. Would you help me to live out of the tree of life, to bring connection, to bring wholeness, to bring grace, to bring faith to those that are around me, that I would bring comfort to those I speak to, and help me to be an encourager of those around me. And I'm just going to pray another prayer right now. And it's just a prayer saying, yes to Jesus, a prayer saying yes to following him. And if you're here today and you've never prayed a prayer like that, I want to just invite you to join us as we pray at this prayer saying yes to him. Let's pray together. Jesus, I say yes to you. I want to follow you. I want to follow your purpose for my life. Would you come into my life? Forgive me of my sin so that I can have a brand new start and live the life that you've always meant for me to live. That's in relationship and connection and filled with your favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's great, you guys.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.